Welcome to the Space News Weekly Brief, where we bring you the latest updates, groundbreaking developments, and key insights shaping the future of space exploration and technology. I'm your host, AI Michelle, and this is a Magic Pod production by Podcast AI. Here are our top stories today. First, NASA CubeSat finds new radiation belts after the May 2024 solar storm. Second, a clever trick could help us spot life on Mars, according to Gizmodo. Third, NASA's Europa Clipper captures its first starfield images from deep space, as reported by SciTech Daily. Fourth, the planning for 100,000 satellites and the efforts to mitigate associated risks, covered by SatNews. Lastly, one giant step for Aggie Space Research, highlighted by Texas A&M Today. In our mission updates segment, let's delve into the fascinating discovery made by NASA's CubeSat. Following the largest solar storm in two decades, which struck Earth in May 2024, scientists have identified two new temporary belts of high-energy particles encircling our planet. These belts were discovered with the help of NASA's Colorado Inner Radiation Belt Experiment satellite, also known as CIRBE, which fortuitously came back to life just in time to capture this data. The solar storm was a formidable event, sending wave after wave of charged particles from the sun, leading to brilliant auroras and temporary disruptions in global positioning system communications. But it also resulted in the formation of two new radiation belts positioned between the existing Van Allen belts that permanently surround Earth. Notably, one of these new belts included a population of protons, a unique composition not observed in previous temporary belts. This discovery is significant for the safety of spacecraft, especially those launching into geostationary orbits, as they must pass through these potentially hazardous regions. Understanding the dynamics of these belts is crucial for developing strategies to protect both spacecraft and astronauts. The CIRBE satellite, equipped with the Relativistic Electron-Proton Telescope, integrated Little Experiment 2, played a pivotal role in this discovery. Although it experienced an unexpected shutdown in April 2024, it was resurrected in June, allowing scientists to collect high-resolution data that was not available from any other instrument. This data has been invaluable in understanding the implications of such solar events on space technology. Let's dive into a fascinating new approach that could help us spot life on Mars. A team of astrobiologists from Germany and Portugal has developed an innovative technique based on chemotaxis, the movement of organisms in response to chemical stimuli. Their study, published in Frontiers in Astronomy and Space Sciences, reveals that three species of microbes are attracted to an amino acid called L-serine. This amino acid likely exists on Mars due to the bombardment of carbonaceous asteroids in the planet's early history. The researchers used hypothetical Martian microbes known for surviving harsh conditions, including the bacteria Bacillus subtilis and Pseudoalteromonas haloplanctus and the Archaea haloferax volcani. These organisms, often called extremophiles, are some of the oldest life forms on Earth. The study highlights that by understanding their movement, we can enhance life detection methods for space missions. Max Rikeles, an aerospace engineer at the Technical University of Berlin and co-author of the study, emphasized the simplicity of this method. The equipment involves a slide with two chambers separated by a thin membrane. Microbes are placed in one chamber and L-serine in the other. If the microbes are alive and capable of movement, they will swim toward the L-serine, indicating their presence. This method is easy, affordable, and doesn't require complex computing power to analyze results, making it a promising tool for future astronauts. Though real-life applications would require an automatic system with more robust equipment, this approach presents a cheaper and simpler way to search for extraterrestrial life. It's not often that we hear cheap and simple in the context of the search for alien civilizations, but this study offers a potential game changer in our quest to understand life beyond Earth. NASA's Europa Clipper is making significant strides on its journey to Jupiter's icy moon, Europa, with an expected arrival in 2030. Although its science instruments are not yet operational, the spacecraft's star trackers are busily capturing images of distant stars to help navigate its course. These starfield images, which include the constellation Corvus, are key for ensuring the spacecraft's antennas and instruments are accurately aligned. 3 months after launching from NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Florida, the Europa Clipper is still traveling the vast distance of 1.6 billion miles, or 2.6 billion kilometers, to reach Jupiter's orbit. While the scientific cameras await their turn to capture detailed images of Europa, the star trackers are already hard at work. These cameras serve as a cosmic compass, using images of stars to determine the spacecraft's precise orientation, which is crucial for maintaining smooth communication with Earth. In early December, the star tracker successfully captured and transmitted Europa Clipper's first images from deep space. These images, composed of three snapshots, reveal faint stars located between 150 to 300 light-years away. The stars, including the brightest ones in the constellation Corvus, provide essential data for confirming the spacecraft's orientation. Corvus, meaning crow in Latin, has ties to Greek mythology and the god Apollo. The successful capture of these images is part of the spacecraft's checkout phase, which has been ongoing since its launch aboard a SpaceX Falcon Heavy rocket on October 14, 2024. This phase ensures that all systems, including the star trackers, are functioning correctly. The star trackers are engineering hardware and are always taking images, processed on board, explained Joni Noonan from NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. We usually don't downlink photos from the trackers, but we did this time to verify the hardware's integrity post-launch. Correctly orienting the spacecraft is crucial not only for navigation, but also for the mission's science operations. The Europa Imaging System, one of the 9 science instruments on board, will eventually map and examine Europa's surface features. This includes the moon's mysterious fractures, ridges, and valleys, which are of significant interest to scientists studying the potential for life on Europa. The Europa Clipper mission, managed by NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, in collaboration with the Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Laboratory and several NASA centers, marks a major step forward in exploring the potential for life beyond Earth. The mission's objectives include studying Europa's ice shell and subsurface ocean, analyzing its composition, and characterizing its surface geology. These efforts aim to enhance our understanding of Europa's habitability and the broader possibilities for life in our solar system. In today's policy and industry segment, let's dive into a topic that's sparking significant discussion in the satellite community: the planning for 100,000 satellites and the associated risks. This conversation took center stage at the recent SmallSat Symposium held in Mountain View, California, where experts gathered to address the challenges of an increasingly crowded space environment. Ahsun Murad, President and Chief Executive Officer of Optimal Satcom, set the scene by asking panelists to consider what would constitute a bad day in space. His question was timely, given the prediction that we could see up to 100,000 satellites orbiting Earth within the next 7 years. Louis Kristen, Senior Director of Proliferated Systems at Northrop Grumman Space Systems, highlighted the need for enhanced observability and monitoring as orbits become more congested. Collision avoidance and cyber threats are high on his list of concerns, emphasizing the importance of maintaining clear and reliable satellite pathways. Tim Lynch, Senior Vice President and Chief Strategy Officer at FrontGrade Technologies, pointed out that a bad day could arise from either man-made or natural causes. While debris is a concern, natural phenomena like solar flares or asteroid impacts pose significant risks. Lynch suggested that lessons from maritime and aviation industries, which have long dealt with similar challenges, could be valuable in developing strategies for space traffic management. Dr. Rajiv Gopal from Hughes Network Systems focused on the resilience of satellite systems, particularly in the face of cyber threats. He warned that a hijacked satellite could quickly become a weapon, highlighting the critical need for robust security measures. Dr. Gopal also drew parallels with the maritime and aviation sectors, underscoring the complexity of managing tens of thousands of satellites compared to the existing challenges in other transportation modes. Dr. Dan Sepperly, founder and chief executive officer of LEO Labs, shared insights from his company's global network of radar sites, which monitor space events as they happen. He noted the increasing frequency of proximity issues in low Earth orbit, likening them to the Russian doll phenomenon where satellites deploy smaller satellites. Sepperly emphasized the necessity of scalable radar systems to keep pace with the rapid increase in satellite numbers, especially over oceanic regions where monitoring is currently sparse. As the satellite industry prepares for a massive expansion, the dialogue at the SmallSat Symposium underscores the urgent need for innovative solutions to manage space traffic, enhance satellite resilience, and mitigate risks. The industry's ability to adapt to these challenges will be crucial in ensuring the sustainable growth of space activities. In today's research segment, we're thrilled to highlight an exciting development from Texas A&M University. The university has announced a groundbreaking partnership with Aegis Aerospace Incorporated to create the TAMU Spirit Flight Facility on the International Space Station. This innovative collaboration will provide exclusive research opportunities for Texas A&M researchers, allowing them to conduct experiments in space like never before. The TAMU Spirit, which stands for Texas A&M, Aegis Aerospace Multi-Use Space Platform Integrating Research and Innovative Technology, will serve as a dedicated facility for a wide range of scientific activities. These include in-space research, advanced materials manufacturing, robotics testing, and space surveillance technologies. The facility will offer Texas A&M researchers priority access to send their experiments to the International Space Station, a significant advantage in the competitive field of space research. Chancellor John Sharp has expressed that this project aligns with Texas A&M's commitment to providing high-quality educational experiences and addressing the needs of Texas residents. As a space grant university with a long history of space exploration, Texas A&M is poised to continue leading in this field. Thanks to the support from Chancellor Sharp and the Texas A&M University System Board of Regents, the TAMU Spirit Flight Facility is set to push the boundaries of space innovation even further. The project is spearheaded by Professor John Connolly from the Department of Aerospace Engineering, who will lead the TAMU Spirit Initiative. The facility, expected to be operational by 2027, will allow up to 12 individual science carriers at any time, offering researchers the chance to analyze the effects of low Earth orbit on their experiments upon return to Earth. Aegis Aerospace, led by CEO Stephanie Murphy, is a key partner in this endeavor, providing financial support and the design of the MISSI flight facility, which will serve as the foundation for TAMU Spirit. This partnership not only demonstrates Texas A&M's dedication to advancing space research, but also highlights the university's role in fostering innovation and providing unparalleled opportunities for its researchers and students. With the TAMU Spirit Flight Facility, Texas A&M is making a giant leap in space research, setting itself apart from other universities by offering private access to a flight facility on the International Space Station. This initiative underscores Texas A&M's leadership in space exploration and its commitment to pushing the frontiers of science and technology. All right, that's a wrap for this episode. If you enjoyed this brief and would like to stay updated on latest episodes, don't forget to click follow in your podcast app. Thanks again for listening, and hope to catch you next time.